I'd like to thank everyone for the opportunity to stand before you this evening. Really like to give thanks to everyone who participated in the worship services. Everyone were good sports and volunteers, so I do appreciate that. The theme of our lesson this evening has been on winning souls or soul winning. And so the good and the bad is, I guess the bad thing is there's so much you could cover on this subject. This could consume an entire quarter of a Bible class and probably still not cover everything you could say on the topic. So it looks like I have about 10 or 15 minutes. So we'll make hopefully a couple of points that you can think about in your studies this week. We all are familiar with the Great Commission, as we read earlier in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And I don't think that anyone here would argue that the Great Commission applies to all Christians today, to you and to me just alike. We read from Acts chapter 8 about another soul winner, Philip, that when God gave the orders to Philip to leave Samaria and to go down the road that led from Jerusalem, Philip was obedient unto him. The Bible says that, as we read earlier, that he arose and that he went. So Philip obeyed God without question, and we must at all times and at all costs be willing to do the same and to follow God and to put our own will and our own thinking aside. Philip had had great success, as we read, in Samaria preaching the gospel, but yet when he was commanded to leave and to go to another location, and it may have sounded strange at the time, he obeyed because he was a man that listened to God and knew that God knew best where to preach the gospel and how to preach the gospel. I want to talk about a few things this evening that I think are key ingredients. The first one being prayer and personal work and personal evangelism and winning souls. So any endeavor into personal work, I don't think you can begin it at all. It's a non-starter without sincerely petitioning God in prayer. And I truly believe today that prayer is underestimated in the lives of even Christians today. Paul prayed for the lost, as we read in Romans 10, verse 1. Just to reiterate, he said, "My heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Prayer is a very powerful tool for someone who's trying to win a soul and do personal work. God's providence works and provides for the needs in response to a Christian's fervent and their heartfelt prayers on this particular endeavor. It's prayer that helps us tap into the resources that heaven and God has to offer us. But unfortunately, prayer, I believe, is sometimes an afterthought, when in reality it should be our initial preparation, especially when we're approaching teaching the lost. Now, God can help you and I as soul winners in many ways. There are so many things we could pray for. We could pray for wisdom. We could pray for doors of opportunity to be open to us, or maybe we come in encounter with people who are interested in the gospel. We may be able to pray that we could remove obstacles, such as those with those hard hearts that Adam talked about in his lesson this morning. And fourthly, we could pray for the strength and the courage that we need to go out and proclaim God's word in a confident manner. As we read in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, we know that all things whatsoever we ask, if we ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. And we can count on these promises. There's no ifs, no ands, or no buts, but God will deliver just as he's promised. A second item I believe that's very important is prejudices and compassion. And I think these two go hand in hand. And you may be looking at the screen saying, "Boy, Tommy messed up his text there." But I intentionally wanted to minimize or practically eliminate prejudices while actually causing our compassion to grow to an enormous size. And I think those two juxtaposed against each other really convey a message. The word compassion means to suffer with. So the soul winner, Christians, we see the lost condition of the person's soul, and we know what's at stake here, and we, as an individual Christian, we suffer with them and suffer with it. There's a country music song by Clint Black that has the following lyrics. It says, "Put yourself in my shoes." It says, "Walk a while, walk that mile for me. it goes on to say that if you put yourself in my shoes, you'd have some sympathy. And so I think we as Christians, we know that we were sinners at one point in time, and we can relate to that, and that should really focus us in on the compassion we have for those who are lost in this world. Paul, who had persecuted the church to the nth degree and to the highest levels, was a man of compassion after and following his conversion. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 16, we read, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." So his very inner being was really troubled, and it was stirred. It used that term when he saw that there was a whole city there that was given to idolatry. They were in sin because he knew what he had come from. Compassion is the quality, I believe, that will cause each of us into action. It's what compelled Paul on this occasion to speak atop Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. And if we have a great compassion for the souls of individuals, I believe we'll be less likely to harbor or to have prejudices in selecting who we may feel like is the appropriate person to teach or maybe not to teach. Maybe we think that one person may be a candidate and another person may not. On in Acts chapter 8, as we read earlier, we read about Philip teaching the eunuch. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, we read that the eunuch was forbidden to enter the assembly of the Lord and could not partake of full religious benefits. And Philip was a Jew. So the eunuch was converted to Jewish religion, but he was still considered somewhat of an outcast. He wasn't a true Jew. Essentially, he was considered a Gentile. And so he was in that same category, so that many of the Jews probably would not even speak to that individual because of their class and their rank in society. In another instance, it took even a miracle for the Apostle Peter to go into a Gentile's house and to teach the gospel. Later on in the book of Acts in chapter 10, Peter's given a vision to preach to the household of Cornelius. But yet in Acts chapter 8, Philip, without hesitation, he went up into the chariot and taught the Gentile, the eunuch. So we too must be like Philip if we're going to be successful in our personal work here upon this earth. We must be, in a good sense, blind in doing personal evangelism. We need to do our best to look at the inward, as Adam mentioned this morning, the inside of the person, the soul of the person, whether they're saved or whether they're lost. We shouldn't be looking at someone's social status, their economic standing, or even maybe their educational attainment, or any other physical characteristic that you can think of. The list can be very long. If a person is a sinner, they need the gospel. We know that God is not a respecter of person, and we are a beneficiary of that. We didn't deserve to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, as we remembered here earlier, as we gathered around the table, but God did it for us because he's not a respecter of persons. So neither can we be as children of God in our personal work. The next thing I want to mention is urgency. We want everything in our lives right now. We just can't wait for anything these days, it seems like. However, I'm afraid when it comes to winning souls, we get a little lackluster and we lose that urgency. The word urgent means requiring immediate action or immediate attention. In Acts chapter 16, verse 9, Paul saw, as has been referred to, the Macedonian vision. And in Acts 16, verse 9, it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed with him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" In the very next verse, it says, "After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Likewise, in Acts chapter 8, the Spirit told Philip to join himself to the chariot, which the eunuch was riding in. And it said, if you remember earlier when we read that, it says he ran to him. Philip knew the urgent need of winning souls, and to him there was no time to waste. So this is the kind of enthusiasm that you and I need to exhibit in our daily lives when we approach and teach others the the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to have a zeal for teaching others. Now, you and I today, we're not operating or under any visions. We're not receiving any visions or dreams. We're operating under the command as espoused in Matthew chapter 28 earlier. We're to go. That's the word. We're to go. So a soul winner for Christ and a Christian will see the urgency of going out and teaching others. We remember that Paul went immediately. He didn't say, well, I'll do it when I have time. It says he went immediately. And it also said that Philip ran to the eunuch. Those are two examples of urgency. So how urgent is God's teaching to us in presenting the gospel to others? We need to think about that. The last item we have, and there are many more that can be listed, is knowledge. This may sound simple or dumb, but it's impossible to teach a person what you don't know yourself. But you don't have to know everything. The Apostle Peter, he exhorts Christians in 2 Peter 3:18 to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are several areas of knowledge, I think, that or a few that we need to be a good teacher and one who can spread the truth. First, we have to have knowledge of the truth. Second, it probably would be helpful for each of us to know just a little bit about the other man-made doctrines and religions that are out there, or maybe false teaching that abounds. And then also some idea how you want to approach someone in your methodology. Each person that you talk to and that you teach, they're going to be different. For those of you who have children, you can have two kids, and one of them respond to verbal discipline, and the other one just thumb their nose at you with verbal discipline or direction. So you have to weigh the case and weigh the individual and be sensitive to those means and methods. In Acts chapter 8, when the eunuch asked Philip about that certain passage, he knew who he was referring to there in the scriptures in Isaiah. So if we're going to be effective, we must know the scriptures. We have to study the scriptures, as was mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. There can be no substitute for the Word of God, for it's the only thing that can bring about salvation and can work on the heart of penitent sinners. We can't go about teaching our feelings or opinions, because that just won't get the job done and won't get an individual to heaven. The only message that can save is Jesus, because he alone has the words of life. So Jesus must be our only power and the message that we draw upon when we present to others those who are in sin. In order to be a soul winner, we must teach the saving gospel and not water it down and make it some social gospel that everybody likes to hear and it's pleasing to the ear. The simple gospel of God's plan calls for just a few things, and that's all you need to get started. You need to hear the word of God, preached and proclaimed, read it, study it. With that, if you have the proper heart, as we talked about this morning, you can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That will cause you to realize that you are in sin and you need God's soul-saving salvation. That'll cause your repentance and your turning from sin. You'll be able to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you'll be able to be baptized in the watery grave and be remitted of all your sins. Your sins would be washed away, and you'll come up a clean, new creature in Christ, and then live faithful all the rest of your lives. We must have a thus saith the Lord to produce that true conversion, but it starts with the simple gospel plan. So yes, you and I need to be more like Philip. We need to be more like Paul in the church today. We need to have that enthusiasm and the courage that it takes to be effective soul winners for Christ. Proverbs 11 verse 30 says, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Remember in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." So let each one of us as Christians become wise individuals and seek to win souls for Christ so that we can be more like Jesus Christ. This evening, we mentioned the gospel plan of salvation. to hear the Word of God, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Jesus, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or if you haven't been living up to the Word of God and the plan and the path that God has for you, the congregation is here to help you and assist you in any way. Please come forward at this time if you have need while we stand and while we sing.